No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here to end the week, kind of wrap things up. Like I said, we had a little different schedule than we've had in the years previous, but we did kind of get three shows in. Regardless, wanted to give you guys some good stuff. We've given you guys a lot of matchup kind of talk this week on the Titans, and a little bit of where, you know, what could happen game plan wise, what couldn't, you know, vice versa. And so I wanted to get you guys through the Pro Football Focus grades as well. I mean, I know we haven't done that for a couple weeks, and the Colts obviously are coming off their bye, but wanted to make sure that we could get you guys that as well, because it's just, oh, I don't know why, but it's always fun. I think that you guys enjoy it as well. I tend to as well. And you guys know that I like Football Outsiders as well, kind of how they determine efficiency of an offense and defense and as a team as a whole. So we're going to run through that a little bit, run through some Colts news and stuff, and then we're going to get out of here for the week. Going to have, you know, hopefully a good game Sunday. The Colts can really use it. I know that a lot of people are worried about draft position right now, and a lot of people, you know, kind of feel that these are meaningless games. The Colts aren't completely out of it yet, and I know that maybe going into the postseason, let's say the Colts were to go in even at 9-7 somehow, you know, or 8-8 or just whatever, I think that people would tend to think that going in without a legitimate shot at really pulling out a Super Bowl win is kind of meaningless as far as draft position and so on and so forth. And I understand that. But you know what? I still want to see these guys play well. And if it means that they lose a few spots in the draft, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess that it could come back to hurt you, but it's just not, I don't know. I guess I'm not kind of built that way. I don't know. I know a lot of people are, and it makes sense. You know, you want the highest draft position. You want them to be able to rebuild quicker. And I get all that. And I do. And it makes sense. But I still would rather see the Colts get to the postseason for some reason. The further it gets, you know, the further the Colts drop in draft slot, you know, then maybe my mind will change a little bit. But for right now, the Colts, I think, still have a legitimate shot at winning. And until they're actually, you know, mathematically erased from the opportunity to get to the postseason, I'll probably continue to think that way. So let's run through the Pro Football Focus grades real quick. And you guys are probably going to see like a drop from the Colts simply because they did just come off of their bye week. And for some reason, I felt as though there was a couple of players maybe several weeks ago that, you know, hadn't played in the past couple of weeks. And as a result, like they dropped their grade or something. I'm not sure if that's actually what it was or that the other, you know, player simply passed them, but it seemed like a significant drop. That's what made me pay attention to it. So, but let's start at the quarterback right now for the Colts. Jacoby Brissett is number 22 overall with a 77.3 grade. I'll be very interested to see how he comes back from the bye. Is he rested and sharp, or is he lackadaisical, sort of, you know, and kind of like rusty almost even? As a young guy, as a young quarterback, you wouldn't expect that. I mean, that doesn't seem like something that, you know, Brissett's really all about. It does. He seems like he's a guy who probably worked the majority of the bye and, you know, was ready to come back nice and strong. And I hope so for his sake, because and for our sake, just because you want to see this guy has grown, but you want to see more growth. You want to see, you know, that extra step and to kind of see how he could really be. What kind of a passer could he really be? What kind of a decision maker could he really be? And so I'm anxious to see him come back and to kind of to see how he responds from the extra time off. Hopefully it's a not necessarily a drastic improvement on what he's had done so far, but at least an improvement, another step, you know, another step in the right direction towards fundamental quality quarterback play, you know, to where he can prove that he's worthy of being a starter in the league. You know, he's better than a few right now. But in general, you know, you want to continue, you want to call a starter a top 15, top 18 quarterback, even, I would say. Outside of that, you know, they're largely interchangeable, it seems, in the NFL. So let's go over to the running backs. Frank Gore is 30th overall with a 74.2 grade. Marlon Mack is 33rd with a 73.5. I kind of wonder how much more we're going to see of Mack in the coming weeks. I would think that probably the further the season winds down, that he starts getting more snaps simply because it's pointless to wear out Frank Gore. You know, let the young guy shine if he's going to be able to, and we'll see what happens with that. I'm interested to see those guys as well. I'm especially interested, obviously, to see Mack, but I want to see him, you know, I want to see his growth as well. I don't want to just see him getting snaps. I want to see him grow with each opportunity he gets. You know, it's just, you know, you really want a guy like him to be able to reach that potential, because you just don't know, you know, who he is, what kind of a running back is he. He's a guy that, you know, has some flash, has some speed, but kind of peters out in the NFL. Lots of them do that, lots of them. But, you know, you like his size, you like his traits, you like a lot of the things he brings. You just want to see him start to, you know, start to smooth out a little bit as a running back, catch the ball a little bit better, be able to put a solid lick on somebody as opposed to just getting in their way in pass protection, you know, to be able to carry those inside runs with power and be able to lean forward. You want to see a lot of what Frank Gore is teaching him. You want to see that process of being learned, obviously. So you just don't want to see the guy, you know, going out there and going through the motions, you know, having this being taught to him, having that being taught to him, and never really putting it all together. So let's run over to the wide receivers. T.Y. Hilton's tied for 31st overall with a 77.8 grade. He's come back, obviously, and looked considerably better lately. Kind of disappears in games, you know, and we've seen that recently even. But you've got other guys on the team that can step up. I'm excited to see Chester Rogers and some of these guys really, you know, actually round out this wide receiver core. I would love to see the Colts be able to continue to build on it and show that not only can Brissett hit them all, but they can all get open at a regular rate. Dante Moncrief's at 97 overall with a 47.5. He's shown a little bit as well, but you just don't expect to see him doing a lot more because he's not getting a lot of opportunity, and that's the truth. He maybe you can make an argument against his route running or his ability to get open off the line of scrimmage or something like that, but you also have to account for the fact that he's just not getting a lot of targets one way or the other. Whatever the reason is, he's just not getting a lot. Will that change? I don't know. It makes me think that it won't necessarily, because I think he and Chester Rogers have a little more chemistry. We'll just have to see. You know, Kamar Akins at 113th with a 41.5 grade. I don't see him getting very many snaps the rest of the way out simply because of Rogers. I think that Rogers is going to possibly get right back into that, you know, number two, number three role. And I think he'll excel in that. I really do. So let's go over to the tight ends right now. And, of course, Jack Doyle is sitting at 29th overall right now with a 64.8 grade. I think that he is, you know, to us, he's the security blanket. He's the reliable guy. But he's not doing a lot after the catch, I don't think. I mean, not considerably anyways, to other, you know, maybe more athletic tight ends. But he is still that guy. They got him at 29th, like I said, at 64.8. I think he's better than that. I think we all know that he's better than that. But he's just not one of the playmaking tight ends so much, like the, you know, the Kelseys and so on and so forth. I mean, you've got he and Gronkowski and Henry Walker. You know, those guys are all very, very good tight ends, and they're, you know, more athletic. They're more showy, you know. So, I mean, that's going to be obviously – have something to do with what kind of grade they're getting. But, you know, Doyle's our guy. His grade's kind of irrelevant to me, and I think that it probably is to a lot of you as well, just because of what he actually means. He is that very reliable underneath ball catcher who can stretch the field, great route runner and all that good stuff, but he just doesn't get a lot of flash for sure. Let's roll over to the tackles. Anthony Costanzo is 7th overall with an 82.7. I've said it before, I'll say it again. He's a lot better than a lot of us are giving him credit for, and I appreciate him. I've told you guys before, where would this Colts line be without him? It'd be an absolute trash heap. So just remember what we've got when, you know, you want to upgrade with some brand new guy that's unproven. This guy stays healthy, and he's pretty damn good. So I'm good with him. Joe Hegg's at 34th overall with a 72.2 grade. He's improved a little bit. Well, I really want him to improve, but I also think he's a natural guard just from what I've seen of him. I mean, if he can excel at tackle, that's great. I love that. But I feel like he eventually is a guard in this league. And for the Colts, I think that they're going to have to find some more tackle play that's a legit tackle, allow him to kick back inside to what I perceive to be a better position for him. But he has played, I mean, he's played tackle in college. He's, you know, been the primary tackle in college, actually, and so on and so forth. So, you know, what do I know? Probably not much, but that's just the way I see it and where I've seen how well he's played. You know, that those are a couple things that I take into consideration when I'm looking at guys. Right now, Jeremy Vunovich is 77th overall with a 32.8 grade in the guard section. I mean, the Colts do not have a very good set of offensive guards. This is a problem as well. And this is another reason why I think that Hegg should probably get kicked down inside. I think, like I said, it's his more natural position. Jack Muhort was considerably higher than that while he was active, but he's not. So, I mean, you know, what are the Colts going to do? They need to get that interior sewed up so that Ryan Kelly is not pulling all the weight. Kyle Callis is not getting graded out very well. Denzel Goods, you know, he did fairly well, but in very limited role. I mean, 74.1, but, I mean, it was really very limited, you know, as far as what he's actually done. But he's, I mean, hey, take the grade with what you get for him. And you move on. But this guard position for the Indianapolis Colts really has to improve. Now, speaking of Ryan Kelly, like I said to you guys before, they do not really give him a whole lot of appreciation in here. He is 34th overall with a 40.3 grade right now. I think it's probably due to a lot of the help that he's had to give to a lot of his teammates on either side of him. That guard position, like I said, is pretty awful, and the Colts need to find a solution for that. And until then, you know, Ryan Kelly can actually take care of his own assignments and get things squared away with him. Plus, you know, I would assume that he's still playing somewhat injured. So you really want him to get better. You really want that guard position to get better so that you know, he starts getting the appreciation like he did last year, because he deserved it. And he's a pivotal part of the Colts moving forward. And that, I think that's just not even discussable, to be quite honest with you. So we're going to take a break, come right back, and we'll go with the defensive grades from Pro Football Focus. All right, guys, welcome back here to the Colts Cast. Let's go through the defense here. Rashawn Melvin, he's at 15 overall at corner, and he's an 85.5 right now. If I'm not mistaken, he was the 10th overall when the last time we did these. I mean, 9th or 10th, somewhere around there. And I can't remember if there was a game in between the last time we did these or not. So I'm trying to kind of figure out where we've been with that and if he's dropped simply because he hasn't played much. But, you know, he's having a fantastic year. There's no two ways about it. He's definitely, I mean, he's, what, 27, 28. So he's a building block for another few years. But the Colts still need to keep pumping in, you know, more talent at corner. And they've got some with Quincy Wilson. We just need to see him on the field a little bit more, obviously. Nate Hairston, another rookie who has far outplayed his draft position, I think. He's 86th overall with a 48.5 grade. And he's been a guy who's been able to lock down a lot of stuff in the slot. He's not given up a touchdown, if I'm not mistaken, so far. And he's got a lot of cover snaps in that. And, you know, the cover snaps are a nice little twist for that. But I don't really know what that means. I mean, it doesn't really make a bunch of sense to me. What I want to know is how many times has he been targeted, and how many completions is he allowing? I mean, as far as coverage snaps, I get it. you know, you assume that because he's not giving up a touchdown that he's not being targeted because of his coverage. I think that's what coverage snaps is really trying to kind of convey. But I don't, I'm just not a big fan of that, that whatever, I don't even know what you want to call that, an explanation for how many times they've been on the field. Pierre Desir, he is at 99th overall with a 43.7 grade. In my opinion, that's, you know, a pretty slack grade for as well as he's played. He's in the hip pocket of receivers constantly. He's getting his hands up. He's in great position. Receivers are just making really great catches on him, to be quite honest with you. And so I definitely don't agree with that. Chris Milton's at a 40.8, Quincy Wilson's a 48.8, and like I said, Quincy hasn't taken a ton of snaps, and you want to see his playing time come back. Hopefully that happens this week. I think that it would be really nice to see, you know, the Colts really start to lock some people down in coverage. Like, I mean, they're on their way, you can tell, but you really want to see it kind of take full force. So moving on to the safeties, Mathias Farley's 27th overall with an 81.1 grade. Mathias Farley's been fantastic, man. I'm hopeful, you know, that he can continue to play how he has played. He's done a great job. He's really improved not only his game, but he's improved the defense because of his self-improvement, most definitely. And, you know, he's definitely a guy that the Colts can build around as well back there, you know, get Hooker. Now they're going to have Gethers back. You know, that he's a great depth piece. And I don't mean build around him, but I mean he's a guy that you can keep around to build that defense up before you start just, you know, wiping people out again. He's definitely a player to keep around for my money. Darius Butler, 60th overall with a 70.8. The Colts really need, you know, Gethers to kind of be that guy when he comes back, I think. You know, with the loss of Hooker, you know, the Colts are, you know, in kind of a weird position here with this secondary. We know that we can't have Green back there because he just simply doesn't get the job done. But, you know, as far as anything else, you know, we just need some people that can cover and hit. And, you know, Mathias Farley's done a pretty good job with that. Butler, not, you know, not great. Hopefully that Gethers can come back and be an impact player. That'd be freaking awesome to see him come out and play really well. John Bostic is number 45 overall amongst inside linebackers. And this is kind of surprising, but a good surprise, right? Didn't play really very well at all. Kind of played awful, I would say, probably for the first 6 weeks of the season, 7-8 weeks. Last few weeks, he's played really well. And so he's definitely getting credit for it. They got him 45th overall with a 68.7. So, I mean, that is far and away the best Colts linebacker thing. It's good to see this guy getting better as he goes. You know, it's better that he's not declining throughout the season, but it's good that he's ascending somehow. And he's playing pretty good football. So I hope that he continues that. And Antonio Morrison, who his running partner is just not having a good year. He's at 78th overall with a 38.5. Not really much to, you know, give him in the way of, you know, constructive criticism. He's just been bad. And the Colts really need that second inside linebacker there, especially if Bostic is playing pretty good football. They really need another guy to step in. Jeremiah George has done a pretty good job since he's been in there. He's one of the guys that I've liked. He's had some bad games, but a lot of his games, you know, he's just not getting a lot of snaps continuously. So he's at a 68.1, by the way, but he's not got a ton of snaps, like I said, on the season. So it's kind of hard to gauge really where he's at, but I like his potential. I think that he's a guy that the Colts should probably allow to get some more snaps over Morrison, but we'll see what happens there. Going to the interior, the defensive line, Jonathan Hankins is 23rd overall with an 84.4 grade. And, you know, Al Woods and him have been really pretty fantastic for the Colts. I mean, serious upgrades considering our, you know, versus anything that they've had in the past few years, several years, I would say. And Al Woods, by the way, is 28th overall with an 83.2 grade. And I just think these two have been fantastic additions. Sad to see Henry Anderson, you know, get out for the season when he was playing so well. He finished with kind of an 80.9 grade. And you think that with that guy staying, you know, healthy, and the two up front that have really improved the Colts defensive line, that you might see something out of this year. Marcus Huntsman, a surprise. He's at 71st overall, was 74.4 grade. Like to see the way that he has kind of come out of obscurity, because he was ultimately nobody. We've talked about that before. I feel like I'm going to repeat myself a lot, but I don't know that everybody's catching, you know, the things all the time. Hassan Ridgeway has had pretty good week, or, you know, games so far. He's out, I believe, for this week. He was sitting at a 67.6. Grover Stewart, the rookie, you know, doing okay. Not really making a huge impact at a 48.5. But, you know, it is what it is for him. I think he's going to have time to grow, and they know that. So let's move on to the edge guys and round out this Pro Football Focus grade recap. Jabal Sheard playing really good football, especially good over the past couple weeks since John Simon hasn't been there, and that's been necessary, because without him actually stepping up and playing as well as he had, this Colts defense may not be where it's at. I mean, they may have lost that game against the Texans. And, you know, I mean, just after that, I guess it would have been, you know, nice to have both he and Simon there. I mean, Simon's been playing so well, but he's at eighth overall with an 89.9 grade, Jabal Sheard, that is. And he has been a huge impact for the Colts this year, and he's been a great signing as well. A lot of people are questioning a lot of what Chris Bauer is doing, but you've got to give him credit. A lot of his signees are doing really well for the team and playing some really good football. Speaking of John Simon, he is 45th overall with a 77.9 grade right now, and Barcavius Mingo is 61st with a 74.0 grade. So, I mean, these guys are doing it, fellas. I mean, it's not the top of the food chain type edge rushers, but, I mean, we got to start somewhere. The Colts haven't had much of anything the past couple years. It's nice to see, you know, some guys that can play the run and can get after the passer a little bit. We do need more interior pass rush. We need in more push, interior push. So that's something that the Colts definitely need to work on. It's going to be crucial against a guy like Mariota this week, because you want to be able to push him out and have the pursuit, you know, get him, as opposed to him stepping up clean with nobody through the middle and, you know, getting some yards with his legs. So that, you know, just a piece of what you need for this team. Marcus Hunt's been pretty good at getting some interior pressure at times. Woods and Hankins are doing it. But really, it seemed like, you know, that the Colts were really only getting that from Henry Anderson at times, you know, and they needed him to be able to do this as well. You know, on some of the twists, some of the stunts, him going through the middle. The Colts like to use Barcavius Mingo in that role as well. So, you know, we really want to see the Colts, you know, kind of put all of this together and put some really solid football together. So let's move over to Football Outsiders, and I'll kind of give you guys where these two teams are at per their efficiency rankings. Tennessee right now is 19th overall in team efficiency. They kind of have stayed there for the most part, but offensively they're 17th ranked for by Football Outsiders, the DVOA model. Jesus. Defensive rank is 23rd, and, you know, that's kind of where the Colts, you know, kind of differ from these two, because the Colts right now are 31st overall with a 31st offensive rank, and we see that. The defensive rank is 26th, which I think could be a little bit higher, but that the two defenses here are about the same. But both offenses have been pretty awful. You know, I mean, you could say that the Colts offense has been better because, you know, they find that they have, you know, some weaponization deep now. It's not that teams have to sit on the underneath or allow the underneath stuff for Brissett just for him to make a mistake, because he can beat them deep now. And teams know that, but it allows him to kind of round out his game a little bit and kind of take some shots at any point in the field that he deems necessary. I think that the offense is for probably ascending a little bit for the Colts, whereas, you know, Mariota threw like four picks last week. He's not sharp this year for some reason. I mean, both, if I'm not mistaken, both of them have the same amount of touchdown passes, maybe one or two more for the Tennessee in the past week. But, you know, neither offense is really, you know, hitting its stride, whereas both teams have some weapons and their offenses just aren't doing it. Adoree Jackson apparently has come over to the offensive side of the ball a little bit for some extra pieces. He's a big guy for the Colts to stop in special teams. And speaking of special teams, Tennessee's ranked 13th and the Colts are ranked 9th overall. So the Colts have that battle won. And the big part, though, is containing Jackson on returns, because he's been phenomenal. You know, he's absolutely been electric, and the Colts can't allow him to be a significant factor in the game. They have to get their special teams up. Obviously, Sanchez has done a really good job at directional kicking and getting the ball, you know, to be out of bounds rather than allowing a return. So, I mean, you really have to love that about the guy. Smart, smart punter. Got a nice leg on him. He's a big reason why the Colts right now are, you know, in a top 10 special teams unit. And that's, you know, not all of it, obviously. Offense and defense is, I would say, definitely more important. However, that special teams is crucial to even looking like an NFL team. And if the Colts were sitting in 30th in that, they would have a significantly higher point spread right now. And it would be super ugly. But so the Colts really don't have any matchup, you know, to where they could be expected to win. However, the way the defense has been playing, I think against Tennessee, I think that the Colts can take a middle of the pack offense and make them look bad right now. They're very good against the run. The Colts are. They've allowed a little, you know, a couple really big plays that have changed kind of their rank. But just in terms of reality, they are a better defensive front seven than they've been in a long time. That said, you hope that the secondary can cover a little more. The linebackers can do their jobs. But, you know, we are facing a little more mobile Mariota right now. So I just think that the Colts defense, though, is, you know, on its way. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about it being much improved over the past few games as opposed to the first several, because of the big plays. You know, there were so many in those first 7-8 games in the past few, or past couple games at least, that the Colts have kind of knocked that down. And that's good. But I just still think that the Colts have, you know, a shot of turning that offense out. And so I think that the Colts, you know, really have their, they just have their, you know, their work cut out for them offensively anyways from here on out, because Chudzinski's, inconsistent in his play calling. We don't know what's going to show up with Brissett or the offensive line or the playmakers. It's really inconsistent this year, and it's hard to get a gauge on it. But I think for the most part, I think the Colts definitely have an opportunity to win this game. The matchup doesn't necessarily favor them on paper, but I'm going to go with the Colts this week. I don't often pick the Colts because of the way that the team is, you know, where they're at right now. And, it's kind of bad juju to pick the Colts. But, you know, I if I'm just being honest, I think the Colts are going to win this game Sunday. So I think that's, you know, positive news. Let's get into some news a little bit here to kind of close out the show. Brissett is cleared and will play in the Titans game, and that is huge because the Colts absolutely have to be able to have him. I mean, obviously, we know the situation with Tolzien. The Colts can't afford to have him anywhere near, you know, the field. So that's, you know, not something that anybody here doesn't know. But, you know, having him healthy, and not only just knowing that he's going to play, but have him actually, you know, feel like, you know, I can play and be confident and play well, that's huge for the Colts for sure. And there also have been some other designations, like I spoke to you guys earlier about. Hassan Ridgeway has been ruled out with his shoulder situation. Darryl Daniels is out with a hamstring. Kyle Callis is out with, or not out, I'm sorry, questionable with a knee issue. Marcus Hunt is questionable with an illness. Both of them are limited, so you kind of wonder where Marcus is at. But the good news is you got a full practice from John Simon, Jacoby Brissett, Terrell Basham, Kenny Moore, Kamar Aiken, Matthias Farley, and Frank Gore. So hopefully, I mean, I really hope that Farley's knee is all good to go. I really hope that, you know, Basham is back and ready to go, because I want to see him do something, man. I just really do. I've been tough on him, you know, I think, as far as my, you know, analysis of him in film room and on here and stuff. I just want to see the guy prove something. He's done okay a couple times. Want to see this guy kind of take off. I know pass rushers take time. Nobody's saying that I want him to be a 12-sack guy right now. I want him to show that he has flashes of being a 12-sack guy in the future. That's what I want to see. We're not seeing that. We're seeing minimal flashes, you know, flashes of solid pass rush. We still haven't seen very many secondary moves out of the guy. Just not a lot of fundamentals and a lot of, you know, technique. And you want to see all of that, because he's showing that he's trying to be the brute and be the power guy and bull rush. I mean, that's great. You know, we want you to have that. But you definitely need to be able to prove that you can out-technique somebody. And, you know, he's supposed to be one of the better athletes. And he needs to be a guy who can not only out-athlete a tackle, but, you know, outwork them as well. So I think that the Colts should be in pretty good shape here. It'd be nice to see Simon back on the field without a question. Obviously, it's nice, like I said earlier, about Jacoby Brissett being cleared and all set to go. But just in general, you know, we've got a fairly healthy scouting report there. Our injury report, you know, Darryl Daniels and Ridgeway are out. I would assume that, you know, being questionable with the illness, maybe Marcus Hunt will be ready to go on Sunday. Kind of depends. But Callis with his knee, who knows? But that's about all we got for that. So the Colts look like they're in pretty good shape, to be quite honest with you, for their injury report. So let's hope for the best for that. And I think that we're going to be in pretty good shape. Like I said, I think the Colts have a legitimate shot at beating the Titans. I think that they've shown it. They showed that they can take the lead. They can have a solid lead, in fact, and they just haven't capitalized on it. And not something that the Colts can live off of. We all know that. They definitely need to show that, you know, not only the first half wasn't a fluke the last time, but they can close out a game. I mean, Tennessee is not a dominant team. There's not enough separation between these two teams, in my opinion, to say that the Colts shouldn't win this game, or that the Colts couldn't win this game. But I just think that the Colts, both sides of their gameplay, are improving, whereas it looks like the Titans might be descending a little bit each week. So, guys, that's about all I've got for today. It's getting here close. Like I said, it's weird that we are already through three quarters of the season. It's just, you know, a strange feeling, considering it seems like just yesterday we were begging for week one to get here so we could see some real football after watching the preseason and going through all the draft and offseason stuff. So let's enjoy it while it's here. We've still got some games to be played, of course, and let's enjoy Colts football while we've got it. And then when it's time to start thinking about 2018, we'll do that too. So thank you guys all for the ratings and reviews. Those are great. And I'll talk to you guys next week right here on the Colts Cast.